Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Mrs. Teasley, before we start, can I say something?
No.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 29, Commencement. And now, commencing with the show, it's Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
I regret to tell all of our listeners, although it's not our fault, this is definitely going to be a come down from the episodes of last week that were so good, because this one is so dumb and pointless.
Yeah, it's really long.
It's like 2 pounds of show in a 10-pound bag. Like, there's just, it's really unnecessarily long for how clippy it is. And as I recall,
they're not even good at introing the clips.
No, and there's also like other points where it's clear like there was maybe going to be a flashback, and then they're like, nah, like they make a, well, we'll get to it. Anyway, should we do any site business up top, Dave, before we begin?
Still various shirts of interest for sale at glarkware.com. That's WARE.com. Buy a shirt, support the podcast, send our kids to college.
How very timely. All right, let's get into it. So this is Commencement. It's a two-parter. It was Season 3, Episode 29 and 30. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know if you needed that information.
This is Episode 29 and 30 of Season 3, Commencement and Commencement Part 2.
It's almost all clips. Let's get into it. So I want to start by saying I am not as sensitive to Dylan's hair usually as Sarah is, but there's a shot of him that leads off the visual aids where he's playing football in the quad. Sarah, did you notice this?
No. I noticed that he was wearing the kind of Doc Martens that have basically no tread and he should have fallen down 48 times. What did you notice?
Just that his hair is really bad. It's blowing in the wind. This is like clearly a transitional point for his hair, as you have been so ably noting in your selections for the visual aids over the past, I'm going to say like 6 episodes probably. It's just, it's like so fluffy and long and weird and just comes to, it gets all fluffed out in the front. It's bad. See the visual aids. Anyway, start with our D plot. Everyone is stressed. David is taking 6 finals in 3 days because, in case you forgot, you didn't. He's completing grade 11 and 12 the same year, like a fucking idiot. Steve is still in detention on the last day of school and doesn't know if Mrs. Teasley's going to let him graduate. And I feel like, given that this deal was brokered directly with Samantha, if he wasn't going to graduate, she would have been informed by now. Like, what was the point of that shoulder pad summit if not to keep her apprised of Steve's business at school? Anyway. Mrs. Teasley told him to report to her office after school. And after David's replacement, Eric Rubin takes the mic in the DJ booth and intros School's Out, which is actually the original song. I don't know if that's I don't know if that's because we had to watch these ones on Hulu because my disc, like, my disc was like, I can't, and like refused to let me rip it. If the Hulu, but I think people have been saying like Hulu isn't usually getting the original songs either, but whatever, this one is. Donna asked David how his last exam went. Turns out bad, because it was multiple choice. And when his time was almost up, he realized he'd been misnumbering since about halfway through. Waps. He then shoots a longing look at Eric Rubin.
Nice use of waps, by the way.
Thank you so much. That was for you. He shoots a longing look at Eric Rubin. Is Big Fish David ready to leave his small pond or nah? Who cares? Steve walks into the admin office to hear Mrs. Teasley yelling at some inappropriately dressed random. So I guess that whole thing with the dress code didn't actually come to anything. Who knows? Steve is worried about talking to her when she's in this kind of mood, but she didn't call him in to tell him he's garbage. though she thought he was. His grades, however, have improved since December, and she knows that he donated the basketball money to the day camp because the anonymous donor's return address was the Hartley House. Sly. Now she's going to write him a letter of recommendation to any college he wants to go to, and in the hall, somehow Steve thinks this is all it takes to get him in anywhere he wants to go. Like, that's how he says it. It's not how that works.
Like, she can even physically write with those gigantic nails.
Oh my god, her nails are gorgeous. Please see those in the visual aids too. They are so long.
There is, like, I think one of them has the entire Godfather saga that was painted on it with a, like, single hair brush.
Oh my god.
They're beautiful.
They really are. My only problem is that it's like a long French instead of some kind of paint job, which is a pity. But anyway,
yeah.
Suddenly Steve is super excited about going to CU with Brandon, which I thought USC was the only option. That's forgotten, so never mind. And then Brenda comes home to a big envelope from the University of Minnesota. At the Taylor Man's, packing proceeds. There's talk of whether the kids are going to live wherever Jackie ends up or in dorms. And Kelly says, perish the thought, as if she didn't just say something that made it seem like she intended to live at home, which is even dorkier. Although later we find out she thinks she's going to move in with Dylan. I don't know why she had that impression. Seems like a no-go. It doesn't really work out, so it is. Oh, God. And then over ice cream, the Walshes decide where Brenda should go. Brandon is very committed to Brenda going to see you, but he's also still wearing his over-dyed barn jacket. Thank you, Sarah. So he has a lot of bad ideas. Sarah notes in the visual aids, this is the second one of these we've seen him wear in two episodes of two different colors. Like, mix it up, wardrobe people. Have some sense.
Yeah, and this is after an episode where they put Felice in, like, a opposite color, slightly longer pocketed version of the same jacket Cindy was wearing. Like, mm-hmm. You got to spread it out over more than one episode or two episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because also, nerds like us might notice and start a podcast.
Yeah. Those jackets were everywhere at the time. And I also had the over-dyed jean version of that too, in green.
Oh no, me too. Dark green. Worn with an Ankh necklace. Oh yeah.
Oh, Sarah.
Sorry.
After the senior breakfast, which we will get to, David is super burnt out and can't figure out why he didn't say to be King of the Mountain, which I'm going to take as a retroactive shout out to our King of Disparate TV Things Mountains on previously.tv.
Uh-huh.
For another year. He doesn't know
nice
what he's...
pause men.
Yeah, exactly. It's a pause men's. He doesn't know what he's going to do now. Donna tries to be understanding and gives him one of her classic clench-fingered hugs, which you can also see in the visual aids. She hugs bad. And then before commencement, when everyone's gathered at the Walsh house, I have to talk about the timeline of this later, because there's so much is packed into the day of their grad. So they have the senior breakfast. Then everyone goes back to the Walsh house to work on the secret project that they're doing, which we'll get to. Then there's, like, after that, there's talk of people having to go and have, like, hair appointments and manicures and stuff.
Which, who, what?
Yeah. Like, a hair appointment for what? Are you bringing your cap to the salon so they can glue it on? Like, I don't. And then, like, there's still time and all that for Brenda to go over to Dylan's and, like, talk to him about whatever her decision making, whatever. And then for Iris to be like, I'm 3 hours early for your grad. Like, none of it makes sense. And then the graduation is, like, outside in full daylight. Like, it's definitely 2 p.m. or earlier. So none of this timeline makes sense. That's all. I don't know why I care.
Because it's You're that right. Or care about the video yearbook.
Oh, God, which we'll get to. So then Jim comes home early for the ceremony. Cindy warns him that Brenda asked that they not say anything about the Minnesota offer. They still don't know what that means, but Cindy doesn't think Brenda knows either. David goes on to mope to Kelly about whether fast-tracking through high school is the right choice. We all know how this ends. Kelly calls to apologize to Dylan about something we will also get to. If he seems cold, maybe it's because Brenda is there in her third outfit of the day. Again, the timeline. She is braless for sure, which you can confirm in the visual aids. Tell me how right I am.
Yeah, this you really won't have to look very hard. Because other things are.
Seriously, it's also Islet. Anyway, she confides in him about her current quandary.
So there I am sitting at the senior breakfast, and I'm thinking about Minnesota. And I wanted to say, hey, everybody, I got in. But something held me back.
Maybe you thought they would try and convince you to stay.
Or maybe I was scared that they wouldn't.
What do you want to do?
You.
I'm torn.
My surefire remedy in a case like this is to just flip a coin.
Is that what you did with me and Kelly?
Oh!
Sorry, that didn't come out right. You don't have to answer that.
No, I want to. Because what I think you're really asking me is if there were no Kelly, would you and I still be together?
Thought has crossed my mind.
The truth is, I don't know. I loved you more than I ever thought I could love anybody. Maybe that was a problem. It was just too intense for both of us.
Luke Perry, I don't even think that's Dylan. I think that's Luke Perry just being so exhausted by her, like, oh, can't it be hiatus already? Like, he's so sick of having scenes with her. Okay, I'm glad you agree. Because
he's actually not that hateful there until sort of the denouement of that scene where they're looking at each other's lips and you're like, really, Jones?
Yeah. It's I made a gif of like the so it seems like they're, you know, eternally just staring at each other wanting to kiss, which amuses me. This is also his Too Intense for Us is like the kickoff to a whole clip package of their intense love affair, which we've already seen and talked about. So when they come back, they talk about how dirty his place is and how Kelly must not mind. Kelly is a pig and has never cleaned anything. That is the reason. Dylan finally asks Brenda why she came over, and she says she wanted to say goodbye to him in private, and he's like, how private? And there's that significant look that we mentioned, and then it's interrupted by the doorbell, which of course is Iris. And then we find out the end of this everyone is stressed storyline is David got the second highest grade on the test he misnumbered. Wah-wah stuff. Moving on to our C story. No one is more stressed than Nana. So one of the first things that we see is Andrea frantically scribbling on a legal pad. And if it's as good as her letter for Donna in the last episode, I'm sure it's pure gold. She tests the mic for way too long, leading Gil to come and ask if she wants to practice her speech in front of a bunch of students who are going to have to hear it like tomorrow. That's nice of him. Gil also has terrible podium hair, by the way. It's extremely loafy. It's in the visual aids. And Andrea says no, but not for the sake of her classmates in clip number 3.
No, thanks. I'd rather not over-rehearse. Well, public oratory tends to be most compelling when the confluence of language is unfettered with the constraints of excess repetition. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. That's fine, Andrea. It's fine.
It was like maybe the only time Gil was ever funny when he's like, okay. Maybe not.
Jeez.
In the Blaze office, a happy-go-lucky Brandon, who has not a care in the world because he hasn't cared about the paper in a very long time, comes in to check on the latest issue, and it's Senior Wills, an extremely stupid thing that I have no interest in talking about, and finds Andrea and her last nerve working on her valedictorian speech. She claims that she's just fine-tuning it, but it doesn't take long for her to crack in clip number 4.
Andrea, you've been fine-tuning it for a week now. I'm sure it's as fine-tuned as it's going to get.
It's still awful.
Andrea, come on.
No, I mean it. It's pretentious, trivial, wishy-washy. I don't even know what I can do with it anymore, Brandon.
Would it help you to run it by me later?
Nope.
Brandon, you're great. Oh, I love you. The best. Oh.
I mean,
like, we get it. God.
Yeah. And the number of shots in this episode of Brandon being like, oh, shit, did I lead her on? Like, yes, you've been leading her on for 3 seasons, you fucking dick. Ugh. Anyway, Brandon's concern about Andrea's sudden declaration of love isn't helped later at the Peach Pit when Jordan shows up looking for her. Apparently, she forgot they were supposed to meet there, but he wishes her luck on her speech. In his capacity as Andrea's dad boyfriend, Brandon has some advice in clip number 5.
Do me a favor. When you guys go back to New Haven, don't let Andrea drive herself too crazy.
I won't, if she ends up going there.
What are you talking about? She's been dreaming about going to Yale since she was born.
She didn't tell you? She's having a lot of second thoughts about going.
Maybe she did mention something.
What?
Did it ever occur to you why she's having second thoughts?
Jordan, don't encourage his ego. It does not need the help. And you are selling out someone that you're supposed to like, which is not cool.
And also, who you like that way. And I think we really do never see him again after this.
I think that's right. He is
with
I
good
he,
reason, because I'm sure he was like, if she's going to bail Yale for that guy, I need to not be a part of this situation. Fair enough.
Yeah, I for some reason remembered him like showing up at commencement, but he doesn't. So bye, Jordan. We will miss you very, very much. You really added something to the show that needed it. Anyway,
yeah.
Before long, Andrea is a punchline in clip number 6.
This going away to school, it doesn't have anything to do with Dylan, does it?
Mom, this is the 90s. What kind of insecure wuss chooses a college based on where some guy is going? Hi. What are you eating?
Oh, Andrea. She just in her dumb suit, and she's got like this baby top with like a dumb little bow and two little pointless buttons on it. It's just like it's bad from head to toe. God, poor Andrea. Anyway, they then go up to Brandon's room where Andrea reads him the latest draft of her speech in clip 7, number 7.
And so, as we travel the unfathomable paths which weave before us, we do so with the clarity of our vision and the certainty of our stride. Wait, I mean, do you think that that should be the strength of our convictions or the strength of our certainty?
I'm still back on the unfathomable path.
It's the worst, isn't it?
No, yeah. No, it's not the worst. It just seems like you're trying to conform to some image of what you think you should be saying instead of deciding what it is you want to say.
You're right. You are absolutely right. But what am I supposed to do? If I throw this out, I will have to do a page one rewrite by tomorrow. I can't do that. I will be a basket case. I don't even know what I would write about.
Andrea.
I mean, how do I know that that speech would be any better than this speech?
Andrea.
You know what? I might as well tell them I have laryngitis, because at this point, Brandon, it would not be so far from the truth. My throat is killing me. I don't even...
Andrea, get a grip on yourself, would you? Look at yourself. Relax. You're having a panic attack. The speech is not that bad. It just needs a little fine-tuning. In fact, I'll help you with it for as long as it takes, okay?
With your dick?
Brandon. How am I going to get through college without you?
I'm sure you'll manage.
I mean, the idea that she, like, that speech is bad, but the idea that based on what we've seen in the show, he is going to make it better is really absurd.
And I just, look, as an experienced grade grubber and retired valedictorian myself,
oh,
who did write 2 speeches, one for the administration's okay, and one that I actually read. There is video yearbook of the entire dais reacting behind me and deciding whether or not 12 years of tuition still meant I couldn't be kicked out during the speech. Spoiler, did not mean that. It's really not that bad. Like, the hard part's over.
Yeah.
You did everything you had to do. You got into college. Just write it. Who cares?
Right. It's also, other than that this is a TV show, not credible to me that Andrea didn't finish her speech like 3 months ago. Just saying.
Seriously.
Anyway, I did not realize you were your valedictorian. Congratulations, Sarah.
Well, thanks. I actually wasn't even number one in the class, but we voted. And I was like the only sort of funny one. So
everybody hated Joan.
They did. They weren't big fans of mine either, but it's a long ceremony. They needed something to look forward to.
What was in your like speech that you delivered that you didn't put in the approved version? Was it full of swears?
No, it wasn't even full of swears. There were just like some jokes that were considered off color about like our brother school.
Oh.
And like the fact that we had a brother school, and basically the implication, which was worded in really the most like Lawrence Welke way possible. So I'm not even sure what the problem was that we were all looking forward to going to college so we could get it in.
Right.
Which was true.
Yeah.
And yeah, Mrs. Faber, like, she was like half out of her chair. Like, is there a net? What happens now? Like, I knew they couldn't do anything, so.
Right. What did your parents say? They probably thought it was funny.
Yeah, no, they knew I was doing this. And my mother was the one who was like, 12 years of tuition. I dare them to block your graduation. Like,
totally.
It's not happening, so.
And I'm picturing your dad enjoying that. Oh, eyeball. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, P.S. 15 minutes before the ceremony started, I found out that I had been Summer of Deception by my boyfriend and a friend of mine. So,
no!
Yeah. So all that's going on, and we're all wearing white dresses because girl school.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Boy. That's a lot.
There's a lot on this tape. I should transfer it, and then everyone really can enjoy.
You should.
Also, my hair. Wow.
Oh my God! I'm sure. I want at least please send a picture because I have to see that.
Will do.
Okay, moving on to this actual show. So after their clip about, they have a flashback to the time that, oh God, the worst Andrea moment when she was on the carousel, Sarah, horse offering herself to Brandon. They get reflective about their friendship or maybe more. And then Andrea has an epiphany in clip number 8.
Oh my God, I know exactly why this speech isn't working.
Why?
Because it's not coming from the heart. It is exactly like you said. I am trying to live up to this image of being a Yalie, when I know deep inside I should probably just stay in town and go to California University.
Andrea, you gotta go to Yale. You can't give that up because of me. I'm not worth it.
Brandon.
It's true that we challenge and support each other and all that. It's very true.
Brandon.
But we just don't have the kind of relationship that you should give up your life's dream for.
Just hold it, okay, Brandon? You are starting to sound like me.
I am?
Yes. If I don't go to school back east, it's because I don't want to be in Hawk for the rest of my life. I mean, do you know how expensive Yale is?
I think I have a pretty good idea. Sorry, I jumped to conclusions.
It's okay.
So, okay, someone who's at the top of her class at like an elite public school in this country and has as many extracurriculars as Andrea is not getting showered with scholarship money from Yale, in addition to which she's poor. Like, I don't believe it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, me neither.
But anyway, we'll get back to Andrea and her dumb speech later. Moving on to our B plot, Dylan's rich and is also a bitch. Dylan has lunch with Jim in his office. After some perfunctory talk about Jim's classic diet lunch, which is cottage cheese and a fruit cup. It's on to Dylan's pinko college plans in clip number 9.
Just before I play the clip, my favorite thing about New York diners is they call that combination of things the California plate.
I know. Yeah. Well, apparently
they still
it is.
Have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Judging by this episode.
It's like cottage cheese and like a half a melon or something like that. Right?
Yeah. Sometimes in a half a melon.
Right.
Yeah.
Ew.
So I hear you like Berkeley.
Well, I can definitely see myself living in a little place overlooking the bay.
Oh, a little place overlooking the bay, is it? Just a little high six-figure spot? No big deal? Shut up, you fucking bitch. I can't, even back then, I can't imagine how expensive that real estate would have been, and now it is like $30 million for like a cottage, probably. God. Anyway, that was for you, Eve Beatty. Jim makes a pitch for CU on the basis that Brandon's going there, which interesting strategy. And then they discuss Dylan's infamous SAT and more in clip number 10.
I won't be going anywhere until I get those test scores back.
No, I think it was a very wise decision to take those SATs again.
Well, it was like my dad said, the only way to prove those bastards I didn't cheat was to take the test again and raise my scores. I tell you, I've been writing about him.
No.
No one cares.
How is Iris?
She's... Iris?
Yeah.
She is concerned about what you're going to do with all your money.
What does she think? I mean, does she really think that I'm going to blow it all? Does she really think that I can't handle my own affairs yet?
No, that's not it.
So why does she just say a mantra or whatever she does and have her accountant cut the check already?
She did.
Really? That's it right there.
Better wipe your hands. Don't want to get grease on a check with this many zeros on it.
I kind of like that line. Sorry.
Although it's called the wire transfer, Jim, as I'm sure you know. Look into it.
Seriously. But, you know, drama. Later, Callie comes over to Dylan's, where we hear for the first time that her pet name for him is Smush Barf. He's been reading about CU, thinks they'd have a good time there. Callie finds the thought of 4 more years of school overwhelming, and then they start Frenching, but they get interrupted by some very aggressive doorbell ringing from, who else, Iris. Callie, for some reason, runs to his bedroom to, instead of just staying and doing up the one button that's open, but whatever. Dylan is pretty fucking snotty for someone Iris just gave untold millions of dollars to in clip 11.
Hi.
What a pleasant surprise.
Do you really think I'd miss your graduation?
You miss practically everything else in my life.
Oh, you're in a snarly mood.
Are you the least bit tickled to see me?
I'm stunned, actually. Can't you pick up the phone like a normal person and call and let me know that you're coming?
Because I was afraid you'd tell me to stay home, and I was hoping we could spend a few days together. Besides, half the fun is catching you with a girl in the bedroom. Did I catch you with a girl in the bedroom?
No, you didn't. We were on the couch. Kelly?
You're still with Kelly?
You know, you barge in here. You expect me to welcome you with open arms when the fact of the matter is when I needed you, you were unreachable.
I was on a trek in the Andes.
Oh, yeah, I was just at my father's funeral.
And I called you as soon as I heard.
Right. We're just victims of bad timing, you and I, huh?
Hi, Kelly. I would love to stop and chat, but apparently this visit is going to be shorter than I'd thought.
Yeah, what's it going to be, the Hilton or the Bellage?
That will not be necessary.
It's on me.
So I see I've outlived my usefulness. Now you're a full-fledged millionaire.
Yeah. Reservations, please.
Did he rush right out and get a gold car?
Hi, this is Dylan McKay. I need your best suite for Iris McKay.
Make sure it's non-smoking.
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize, dear. Just be careful. Money changes people.
Not really. He was a cock before. He's a cock now.
Yeah. Also, if you're probably going to show up anyway, what's the difference if you called and he said don't come, you would still come, so you could have called. Like, I'm semi on Dylan's side with this. A big surprise. But I also find it really hard to believe that we're supposed to think this is the first time they've actually talked since Jack died, like, many episodes ago. I mean, she's a flake, but she's still a person. Like, that's, yeah, seems like a lot.
I don't, whatever. Drama. Yeah.
But I also love her, like, I don't need a room. Make sure it's not smoking. You know, she still has some sense. Who turns down a free hotel room? An idiot, that's who.
Yeah, exactly.
Later, the gang works on this project. We're just about to get to. At this point, we still don't know what it is, but it's taking up the whole Walsh yard and is, according to Kelly, so classy, I doubt it. Tox turns to Andrea and David, who blew off this session, and we hear more about that in clip number 12.
Yeah, and Andrea seemed very edgy at the senior breakfast. Yeah, I would be too if I had to stand up in front of all those people and give a speech like that.
Actually, she's a lot more stressed out about Yale than anything else.
Yeah? Pressure's the Ivy League?
Actually, the pressure's of how to pay for the Ivy League. She's seriously considering staying here.
Man, that sucks. You know, Yale's one of the best colleges in the country. If they accepted her, she should go.
Well, maybe you should give her some financial aid.
Yeah, bro, you're gonna be a multimillionaire one day. You know, come to think of it, I could use some aid myself.
So could I.
Yeah, couldn't we all?
I'm sorry, I was just kidding.
We'll talk about it later.
Ooh.
He's wearing a Braves hat with a mesh back in this scene. So despite the fact that everyone is being, in my opinion, super inappropriate, and also aren't most of these other people rich? So
yes,
this makes no sense.
Exactly.
Like, I have to be Team Dylan, except for the hat. But you ruined it.
Yeah, I don't know why everyone's getting their hair, like, all bent out of shape, other than Kelly's the only one who knows he actually has the money. Like, obviously, that's why Brandon's like, you're going to be a millionaire one day. No one else knows. And so he's like, don't put my shit on blast, which, like, I get it. But like you said, all of them are also rich. So he's just richer than they are, but it's not like they're poor. This is also going to come up in the next episode when there's all the talk about, like, finding an apartment and how are we going to pay for it? Like, your dad's going to pay for it like they pay for everything else. Why is this even a conversation? Ugh.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, your cardiologist father, we'll get to it.
Yeah. I just want to note that all of the girls in this scene look great. They look so much better when they dress down. So much better. With some cute ponies other than Kelly and her scrunchie. You can see those in the visual aids. And I want to also give a shout out, since we are going to mostly shit on everything else. Brenda's outfit is perfect head to toe. She's got a really cute scarf wrapped around her, like, half pony. And the t-shirt is, I'm sure, one of those, like, J. Crew fitted tees of the day. And, like, hits at exactly the right spot on her body. And the jeans are, like, just, like, slightly a little bit too short. And she looks great. You can see her in the visual aids, too. I covered this extremely plain, boring outfit from head to toe because it fits her so well. It's really hard to find a t-shirt that fits like that.
That's true. And you could buy Donna's outfit on Madewell today.
Yeah.
Oversized sweatshirt, jean shorts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone looks great.
Yep. Then Iris does another pop in the next day when Brenda is there in her tablecloth commencement outfit, which you can see in the visual aids. It's terrible. She offers to take a cab straight to the airport instead of his graduation. And when he tells her it's in 90 minutes, which people sure still are dicking around in that case, she says, I guess I'm still on Hawaii time. I'm not going to get into the math of this, but there's no way that makes sense from any side of it, except that it means she's a flake, which, okay, yes, that is Hawaii time. At commencement, Dylan is still touchy as hell about his riches in clip 13.
Yeah, Steve, just click your heels together 3 times and be home before you know it.
Yeah, well, speaking of heels, big guy, those are some pretty kicking boots. Well, they set you back about $800.
Just a graduation present.
Did Mom get you those?
Steve, what does it matter where I got them or how much they cost? They're just boots, all right?
Ooh.
If you really don't care, then wear your same old oxblood docks like you always do.
You only showed up to your fucking commencement in jeans, so it's not really out of the realm for Steve to notice your awesome new boots, jerk. Anyway, all it takes to calm Dylan down is a pep talk from the beyond in clip 14.
I'm real proud of you, son.
Adam, take
the pressure off. I just want you to know that you don't have to go to college on my account. From here on out, you got to do what's right for you.
It's music. The fairy dust.
Oh my god. That scene was out of this world.
Well, thanks for stopping in, Josh Taylor. It's always nice to see you and your mullet again. You can also see that mullet in the visual aids. Sarah has a prince very helpfully highlighted how much it flips out in the back. It's not okay. All right, let's wrap this up with our A-plot, senior bullshit. So up somewhere we're supposed to think is near the Hollywood sign, Steve bloviates about his legendary half-court shot and how it was a once-in-a-lifetime moment, just like all of them graduating from high school, which is actually a pretty normal thing for affluent white teenagers to do. Not that special. But Steve is hot about something. It's still vague as to what he has in mind in clip 15.
Look, Steve, what you're proposing here is an inspired idea. I'll give you that. But I just don't think we have the time to pull it off.
Brando, don't worry. I'll get the van. I've already got the paint and the canvas. All I need to do is to consult with Donna about the design.
Well, I'd like to help, but couldn't we get in trouble?
What, like getting arrested for trespassing and defacing private property? That kind of trouble?
Andrea, don't you want people to know that we were here? Don't you want people to know that we mattered?
I say we do it.
I'm in.
Well, then, do we have a pact? Do we go for the gold?
I didn't want to get any sleep on grad night anyway.
Woohoo! Woohoo! I don't know.
I mean, given what it ends up being, first of all, why do you need to consult her on the world's most famous font?
Yeah.
Second of all, wouldn't they have been shot by someone at the Park Service?
We can dream.
Third of all, just ask everyone else at the senior breakfast whether you mattered, because God knows no one else did.
Sarah, I'm so glad you said that, because let's cut right to the senior breakfast, which is so stupid. It's an extremely artless pretext for a whole bunch of flashback clips and outtakes from David's video yearbook that he could not possibly have on video, such as footage from outside the plane when Kelly and Brenda went skydiving in season 1.
I am glad that we got to revisit Brandon's stunt double.
On the cliff.
Fruitlessly kicking on the edge of a ledge when his or her feet were 3 inches from some rocks and he could have climbed up.
And Jason Priestley had like scars on his face, but his hair is still a fucking helmet. God. Anyway, also it opens with David and Donna doing their Wayne and Garth impressions, which, God, it's, you can see that in the visual aids too, but it's fucking terrible. The only thing I'm going to note from this whole stupid event that has, says Sarah said, supposedly about the entire class and yet is only about the 8 members of the gang, is that it grinds even to more of a halt for this clip 16.
Wants a little cutie, Brendan. Wants a little beauty, Brendan. Wants a girl to call his own. Any size, any style, any eyes, any smile, any Jean, any Jane, any Joan. Oh, Brendan,
bogus.
Oh, come on, be you.
A heartthrob.
Like I've been with so many women.
Come on.
Okay. So I've been with a few.
All right, Sarah, why don't you start? Because I have 1,000 comments.
I heard the word creamy correctly, right?
Yes, unfortunately, you
did. Wants a girl who's creamy?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm done commenting because now I am dead.
It's so gross. Okay, first of all, the song is illustrated with B-roll of Brandon places that Dylan never was, like the fucking beach in season one right before he rescued Surf Betty, but whatever. Second, when they sing, "Is she dark? Is she small?" they indicate Brenda. Not okay. Third, does this song take 2 minutes to write because learn something about lyric scansion, Brandan. Fourth, wants a girl who's creamy. Gross. Also fifth, this clearly is not, even though Kelly and Brenda and Donna are all in the front of this, none of those actresses is actually singing. So given that these are all vocal ringers, couldn't they have gotten some who can sing on tune? Because the ones they got didn't.
Nope.
Anyway, please go to the visual aids to see how half-assed Jenny Garth's choreography is. Once again, she's like just wandering through it like she thinks it's rehearsal. It's not. The upshot of all this is that Brandon's dream girl out of everyone we've seen him with this year is Trisha the figure skater. Great. One thing I will say that's positive of the scene is that there's a moment where Dylan turns around and looks at Brandon to like it mockingly and does a dimple thing in his cheek. It's in the visual aids, which again, I think is more Luke Perry than Dylan because it's actually kind of
that was
likeable.
Pretty funny. That little like boop moment was whatever.
Yeah, it just seems like an acknowledgement of like, well, this was your character, dork, which is kind of funny. Also, one of these singers is in this yellow head-to-toe MC Hammer look, like complete. The jacket has those like chains, I don't think are chains, like strings in between. And then they're like the pants are split in the front. They're in the visual aids. I can't explain it. It's horrible, but it happened. Anyway, then it's grad. This is where all the storylines, you know, converge. There's an extra with some really huge hair that you can see her in the visual aids too. And before this speech, Andrea is in a state clutching her notes and being nervous. All the girls have their hair down with their stupid hats, which is a bad call. Everyone files in looking happy except Andrea in clip 17.
Andrea, what's the matter?
I lost my speech.
Hey, Andrea, don't worry about it. You've been over it so many times, I'm sure you have it memorized by now.
I'm glad that you're so sure about it because I am a complete and total blank.
You've been over it so many times since you wrote it last night? Sure, makes sense. But whatever.
Also, they'll put it on the podium for you so that this doesn't happen.
Yeah. It does seem, well, whatever.
Not that there aren't ways around that. Mrs. Faber, love you.
What if she listens? That would be wonderful.
It would be. She doesn't.
Is she alive?
Yes, she is alive.
All right. Well, so maybe she does. You don't know. After commercials, Brandon gives Andrea a bossy pep talk, the only kind he knows, in clip 18.
All right, knock it off. That's enough. You're not going to wimp out on me, you hear?
On you?
You hear?
Get right on me. I helped you work on that speech for hours, and I've listened to you agonize for years over your grade point average and your permanent record, and I'm not going to let you blow this. Now, you've practically got a photographic memory, so you get yourself together, you get up there, and you use it. You hear me? As the
faculty advisor. Thanks, Brandon.
You're welcome.
Just one thing. Do you remember how my speech started?
Meanwhile, Gail is in the position of peas and carrotsing for like 10 minutes while the scene happens. Like, no one cares. God.
No. He's also not any kind of a school official. I mean, you can sort of hear him saying, like, because he was the faculty advisor of the Blaze, that's why he's the one introducing her. But it's not like he's the vice principal or something, but whatever.
Yeah. Also, he hates her, but sure.
Also, he hates her. Andrea handles this tough moment with her usual lack of chill in clip 19. This is a long one.
Today, we stand here united as a class. Tomorrow, we go our separate ways as individuals. On our own and individually. We do this to follow the paths, unfathomable paths, which means divorce.
Oh, no.
What's the matter?
Oh, she went back to the old version.
We do so with the certainty, that we don't have the faintest idea what we're doing at all. Which could be a very frightening prospect in a world where the boundaries of nations and the balance of nature can change overnight. Except that the years that we have spent at West Beverly have given us the foundation to face that future. We haven't just learned facts and figures, logic and reasoning skills, but we have learned the value of friendship, loyalty, and love, which will not be diminished just because we may not end up together. The memories that we have shared will not go away simply because we do. So even if the future does not always meet our expectations, or the fates are cruel to us at times, no one can ever take this moment from me. From me, from you, from any of us. No one can ever take away this moment in time.
Well, at least it was short.
Sorry. What?
That is like,
I dreamed I was visiting Clichéistan. Seriously. Very hot there.
It's every pop culture valedictorian speech ever.
Pretty much.
Later, we see that at this public high school in Los Angeles, there somehow aren't any students with surnames that fall between Sanders, Silver, and Taylor, as Kelly returns to her seat crying because her dad showed up and we actually see him for the first time ever. There's
her
a
dad
gif
is literally the Monopoly guy.
He totally is.
And also was recast like immediately to be Sean Donnelly, but yeah.
Yeah, but he's there. As the Walsh kids walk, we see that Jim's crying face is indistinguishable from his obstructed bowel face, which you can see in the visual aids. Everyone tosses their hats, yawn. Portraits are taken. Somehow none of the other nobodies tries to photobomb the gang, which I would have loved. Kelly goes to greet her father, but no one thought to actually bother writing a scene for them. After all, we've heard about him because we don't hear his voice in this episode at all. Iris finds Dylan afterward and he tells her about feeling Jack with them. Iris thinks maybe he was there because it's Iris, and Dylan manages to pose nicely for a shot with her, and then she takes one of Dylan with the Walshes and he's like grinning from ear to ear, smiling so much bigger, which is funny. Kelly is excited to tell Dylan that she's going out for dinner with both of her parents, and he and his mom are not invited, I guess. Later, Jim and Cindy are already in their jammies when Jim comes in to say that Dylan is on his way over in clip 20.
He's coming over.
Now? I mean, so late.
He's coming over in 3 minutes. He called from his new cellular phone.
Cellular phone,
oh,
autoclip.
Cellular phone. It begins.
I can't not clip that, but yes, he seems to think the cellular phone is a sign that Dylan is already starting to lean into his wealth, whatever. Then we see that Jim didn't bother getting out of his pajamas and robe before meeting Dylan in the living room to talk about people losing touch with who they were when they get money. Dylan says it's not going to happen to him because he's going to give the money back to Jim in a trust like before. He's happy to get a monthly stipend. He just wants it to be bigger every month. Plus an advance to go and bum around Europe, as he puts it, because he's my mom, apparently. The only other person I know who uses that expression. Jim is pleasantly surprised. Dylan has to go meet the other fools on the hill, he says. Jim wants to know what they're doing, but Dylan says he'll have to see later. And then David, Donna, and Brenda park and bring camping gear to meet up in a clearing. They're the last to arrive and missed all of whatever happened, as we hear in clip 21.
Yeah, it wasn't so hard, especially when Andre went up the embankment to set up the pulley.
Yeah, I never knew you were so nimble.
Must be all my years in the circus.
You were in the circus?
Yes, Donna, she was in the circus, you fucking idiot. Like, even for stuff, like, she's not actually developmentally delayed. That is just a stupid thing to say.
Although, in the writer's defense, Andrea did literally every extracurricular activity it is possible that she was the circus counselor at the Alvarado Street, whatever the fuck.
Fair enough.
Long may it rain.
Andrea says she wasn't in the circus, but she did have a lot of circus dreams when she was trying to decide about applying to Yale. And then we don't see that flashback at all. Not that I'm complaining, but also, like, why does Andrea not get a flashback? I know why. It's still rude. Dylan asks if she is still going to Yale, and she says she is. She'll take out loans and mortgage her future, but she's sorry that she won't get to go to see you with everyone else. Dylan says he's not sure he's going to go there either. Kelly asks if that means Berkeley, but Dylan says he's going to spend the summer in Europe and then see what he wants to do. Brandon and Steve think that is cool, but Kelly gets all cat butt mouthy about it, which you can see in visual aids. And then Brandon decides it's Brenda's turn to get put on blast by him in clip 22.
What about you, Bren? You decided yet?
Decided what? Well, I'm not going to Europe, but I'm not going to California University either.
You take some time off?
No, I'm going to go to the University of Minnesota.
Are you kidding me? When did you decide this?
Well, I've been thinking about it for a few weeks, but I really only made up my mind today. And then during Andrea's speech, I finally felt sure.
What did I say?
That even if we didn't all end up together, it would be all right. The kind of friendships that we had would last forever. I sure will miss you. Not more than me.
Not more than me, guys, thank you.
Yeah, right. Well, there are telephones.
And video phones. Steve, you're gonna be the first guy on your block to have one. I'm so proud of you.
Comedy. It is kind of interesting to look at, in this scene, the three characters that look like they might not go to see you and maybe might leave the series. The two oldest looking ones and the rotten bitch of a problem employee. Like, I just wonder if this was a possible exit for all three of these people. And that's why the real reason they don't go to see you. I mean, we all know now that they come back next season, but maybe they wouldn't have. Who's to say?
Yeah, it seems to me like at the time, it was not clear what would happen.
Yeah.
Especially with Brenda. So mm-hmm.
She certainly seems to me like she's acting like she thinks she's fired. In the next episode too, she seems very flat in a way that's
And Kelly certainly, like, Jenny Garth is giving her nothing mm-hmm. but bitch face. And she's like, well, miss, yeah. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, that's the take. Got it.
Kelly
got
asked
all of it.
Kelly asks why Dylan didn't tell her anything about his Europe plans, and he starts yammering about it before finally asking her to go with him. Who cares? Next day, Kelly wakes up Steve and Brandon as the sun rises, and they're going to go get a better view of their legacy to the strains of the song, which, considering how bad this episode is, I must have seen it a lot of times because I remember this song very well. This is our final clip.
Blood is thicker than water. That between you and me, nothing could be any stronger. And though we may be apart, there's a river that flows through my heart. Don't forget, blood is thicker than water.
Until all right. For all that I remember that song, I don't know why it was chosen. Only two of them are blood, so it makes
yeah,
no sense.
That's and it also sounds like it's dated even for then.
Yeah, it does.
It sounds like a deep cut from like the second side of an 80s movie soundtrack.
Yep.
Like this was before the main song on the Streets of Fire album or something like that. Second reference to that today, Goocher. Yeah,
totally.
It's terrible. It goes on forever, and I think that we need to describe what the big reveal was.
Yeah. Well, for 500 years, we watched them all drive down the hill and then get out and stand together and look at a green screen. But what they're looking at is how they defaced the Hollywood sign with a big, like, canvas banner that they just hung over it that says West Bev, class of 93, right?
Yeah, but I think it's W, period.
Oh.
Bev, high, apostrophe, right. Hi, H-I, apostrophe 93. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Like, if you're just going to cover it with a banner, just write the whole thing out in smaller letters.
It is a pretty big sign.
Yeah, like, or figure out how to match up the letters so that there's 9 characters. Mm-hmm. Like, who arranged this sign? The no scape good sign guy from last time? Like, oh, where's the early? I don't know.
Yeah. It's
they have high school degrees, these genii.
Great. They talk about it, like, so much of the episode is given over to discussing this plan and what a big secret it is. Like, this is it. Who cares? Yeah. Anyway. Speaking of who cares, goodbye, West Beverly. That's the end of, the end of high school.
Good luck getting blown up during the season 3 finale of Buffy.
Yep. So let's wrap things up with our MVP. For this episode, I mean, she's annoying, but she does get a lot done. So I'm going to say Donna. She also wears a really cute red dress and docks at some point that I liked.
Fair. Mm-hmm. I'm tempted to go with Iris just because of how tactlessly she does not feature Kelly and is like, you're still with her.
I know.
But I'm actually going to go with Mrs. Teasley, who had amazing nails and now is finally rid of these fucking freaks.
You're so right. That's a good choice. Should we do season MVP too? Since the end of the season? All right. I'm going to say Jackie, even though she wasn't in every episode, because she made the most, she was the best thing about every episode that she was in my opinion.
That is true, which is why I am going with Jordan Bonner.
Ah, good choice.
Ron Jordan.
All right. And on the other side of the coin, our least valuable player, Dylan, you're rich. Why are you being so pissy?
Kelly's dad, after all that, he didn't even get a line. Like, yeah. Did they just find some guy up the street? They're like, shit, we're 10 minutes short. We need to write a few scenes. And excuse me, sir, you look like a strap worth billion type.
they put a grip in a suit. He's like a Teamster or something.
He wasn't shot from that angle, but he actually has one of those teeny little ponytails.
Oh, God, I want that to be true, sir. So much. All right, season LVP. I'm going to say Dylan again because he was so likable in season 2, and this really was the season where he just, his whole character fell off a cliff of likability, never to climb back up.
That's true. That said, it was a long season. And I feel like I consistently hated Brandon more than anyone. So, Brandon.
Fair. Very fair. And then let's wrap up with the Kim Challenge.
Bad, bad, and dangerous to me.
5 ways in this episode that Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. I will begin. He could fall off his amazing boots and then have wasted $800 speculatively.
Could have a stroke from rolling his eyes at Jim's diet platter and diet cola.
It's probably bad when you're hallucinating your dead dad. That's not a good sign for your mental health.
It's also dangerous to drink out of water fountains. I'm sorry. Don't do that, kids.
It's also dangerous for him to be playing touch football because he could... His brittle, tiny bones could be smashed with an errant, misstep in a divot on the lawn at school.
Yeah, and they are playing with Tony Miller, who is like a regulation-sized male grown-up. So, yeah.
All right, that makes 5.
Why should I take a back seat? Because I'm a girl?
You shouldn't. It's time for our excerpt from the I Hate Brenda book Shannon Doherty exposed. We're still talking about how bad she is with money. Even prestigious Beverly Hills store owners are not immune to Shannon's concept of credit. Renee Strauss, owner of Renee Strauss for the Bride, revealed her story to the press. Obviously not caring about burning a bridge, which I kind of love because it's like, here's me and here's my store. When Shannon bought her first wedding gown from me for the first person she was supposed to marry, so much shade in that aside, it was very traditional. When she came back to marry the next guy, although now she's not marrying him either, she wanted something much more glamorous, so we made a dress with a 15-foot train. Classy. The perturbed store owner stated, "She's the only person I've ever worked with in the entire industry who has been like this. She owes us money, and she's been very difficult." Another Los Angeles-based designer has sold his creations to a number of Hollywood types like Arsenio Hall and Julia Roberts. By the way, Hall is lowercase. It's customary for them to allow these famous stars to run up their bills, which are then sent once the alterations have been completed. There have always been credit arrangements, generally satisfied shortly after each ceremony, but Shannon's $2,500 gown was nothing to celebrate because she neglected to pay for the dress. One of the employees telephoned to remind her of this outstanding bill. "Oh, yeah," she replied foggily. "I'm sending you the check right now." When they received her check, want to guess what happened?
Boing.
It bounced higher than her star status. The employee telephoned again to inform her of the trampoline tender and asked her to try covering it again. The request was ignored. This went on for 6 months until, in a last-ditch effort, they decided to go straight to the senior Doherty, Shannon's dad. Guess what? They were finally able to close the books on this, the case of the missing payment. Why this hippity-hop spending spree? It's a power thing to prove her worth, says a former friend. Her dad, a spokesperson for his daughter, claimed that she's too generous. Your cash flow just dries up. The end of excerpt.
Oh boy. Next time, guess what we got in the senior will? Jenny Callender. Boo. Before the gang gets settled at their various respective universities, or do they, give our visual aids the old college try at previously.tv, and you can follow us on Twitter at previouslyTV. You can follow me, Sarah D. Bunting, on Twitter at TomatoNation. My esteemed colleague, Tara Ariano, is on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our fine feathered producer, David T. Cole, is on Instagram at Glark. See you next time.
Hi. You know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.